You're listening to Screen Heroes on the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Screen Heroes. My name is Ray. I am joined by my two wonderful co-hosts, Ryan.
Hello.
And Derek.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Good, good. How are you, Ryan?
I'm good. I'm hanging in there, you know?
Sweetness.
Surviving.
Yeah. Yeah. How's props and Halloween and Comic-Cons and everything?
Busy.
Yeah? I just like, how's props?
Yeah. How are props, Ryan?
Just in general.
How do they feel right now?
They feel very plasticky.
Yeah? Mm-hmm.
Where are props in fall of 2019?
They're in a good place right now, you know? Yeah. Good start, guys. We're really killing it.
I know.
I think we're fine. You know, we're fine, guys. We're fine. Okay, so tonight we're going to be discussing the most rewatchable movies. This is a totally opinion-based podcast, so you know,
totally opinion, my favorite kind.
Deal with it.
Almost all of ours are opinion.
That's true. No, I mean, I maintain that my review of, you know, A Wrinkle in Time is pretty factual. It was crap.
I mean, that's fair. Well, and we are going to have our news segment.
Which
not opinion based. Well,
some of it is.
We provide the objective part and then our opinion of it.
Right.
So that's, you know.
Yeah, so of course, what, you want your phone?
I do. It has my notes on it. Thank you.
Okay, well, let's start with the controversy around the Joker film. In the last week, multiple theaters have released statements about this movie, and they've all been very weird.
The more Todd Phillips talks and Phoenix doesn't talk, the less I want to go see this movie.
You have been just dipping in interest level.
Okay, let's be real, though. Derek was not ever very interested in
this
movie.
I think he was. So. I think last year?
No, because we talked about it on here, and he was like, why are they making a Joker movie? This doesn't make any sense. This
with
is
the
so
Bale
dumb.
Voice?
And we were all agreeing. That wasn't quite a Bale voice. That was maybe
was really
Batman
close.
Begins.
It was really
That was maybe
close.
Begins Bale voice. But I mean, he's the biggest DC fan maybe in the room, and he was trashing it hard when it was announced.
I wasn't trashing it hard.
Well, you're trashing the idea of it hard.
I was not. Look, I've never been excited about the movie.
Okay.
I've never been looking forward to the movie, but now like I actively just don't want to see it.
Like, you actively didn't want to see it before.
No, there's a difference between like. I really didn't think it was going to be very good. I thought it was a bad idea, and I thought I wasn't going to enjoy it.
Okay.
Now, I just think the director's being a total jackass about the whole thing, and I think that Phoenix not speaking and walking out of interviews means one
There's
of
only
two.
One interview, right?
One interview, yeah. But he also was, I mean, on the red carpet, they just refused to have any reporters or anything like that, and that means one of two things to me. It means that either A, he doesn't have anything good to say, which is not a great sign, or B, he doesn't think it's important enough to say anything, which is also not a very good sign. And clearly he's allowed to talk because Todd Phillips won't shut up about it. So I
don't think those are the only two options.
I mean, what else is there?
There's the option that he says something and it makes things worse for the movie because it's taken out of context or, you know, he doesn't have something prepared. And so he says something that maybe isn't exactly what he meant to say and it comes across the wrong way. Or maybe it's something he intended to say and it makes things worse.
He's not a fresh young actor. Not being prepared for a scheduled interview.
No, but also
lame.
He's done some weird ass shit on, on talk
true.
Shows and stuff like that. So I'm pretty sure like it's entirely possible that that's the option.
That's true. That is true. I think that when you take on a movie like this, and he knew what this was, that to not expect those types of questions is also kind of crazy. And my problems really lie with the director. Todd Phillips just keeps saying things that are worse and worse about it, you know, and I just, I don't want his hands on the franchise, frankly, at this particular
it's a little
point.
Late.
So I know it's a little late now, but I also didn't know how much of a jackass he was, right? I don't really know much about him prior to this.
What if he gets announced to announce or to direct the next Star Trek movie?
Yeah, I'll be very disappointed.
That would not be good.
I mean, I will.
We have to deal with problematic director Tarantino first. Yeah,
what if they just go with all problematic directors now? That's a new direction.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I just don't want to see it, but I don't want to spend too much time talking about
that. What do you think, Rachel? We haven't heard much from you.
So the thing is, this isn't about my opinion on it. The Joker has had some weird stuff come out. So one theater in... specifically the Aurora, Colorado one where the shooting was during Dark Knight Rises, that theater said they're just not going to show it. And then Alamo Drafthouse had a statement today they put out saying, like, please don't bring your kids to this. We've seen it. There is no Batman. Like, we know it's rated R, but we also know some parents, like, make that judgment call, and that's fine. But this is, you're not going to like it. Like, it's slow, and it's disturbing, and it's done like that on purpose. So it's just really weird to me that so many different theater chains are having to put out warnings or comments and statements about one movie. Like, I don't think I've ever seen that.
Well, even the U.S. Army has talked to its own people, its own troops, about how to handle possible shootings from credible sources this weekend. There have been threats, some credible, some not credible. The L.A. police claim there haven't been any credible threats, you know, but there have been some in other states. And, you know, I mean, do I want to see this movie enough to deal with that? Like, no. I don't. So that's that.
Okay.
Good talk, guys. Yes.
I just wanted to comment on that. Like, this is the news part. So.
Yeah. I was agreeing with you.
Okay.
I was just stating the army part. I didn't know if you had heard about that.
Yeah, that's a little odd. Like.
But you do on the other side. I brought this up in our chat. You do feel bad for the people that worked on this film that aren't really at the people that get interviewed or like anything like that. You know, there's hundreds of people probably crew wise that worked really hard on this film for probably years of their lives and are really proud of it. And beyond what the director's doing, like the U.S. Army issuing warnings and things like that, that kind of fucks them. I mean, their movie is not going to make money potentially because of that and everything else. And
I mean,
it sucks.
I feel like this whole situation is bad. I feel like if it's a great performance, but people miss out on it, then Phoenix definitely loses. If nobody goes to see it, clearly the people who worked on it, you know, they lose out on something. But then also, like, imagine you're a 17-year-old kid and your boss is telling you, well, we've had a shooting threat for our theater, so, you know, let's go through the active shooter training right now. So, like, this whole situation just kind of sucks. We can't just have like a good Joker movie. So it's all just been tainted. And I mean, the more and more comes out about it, the less interested I'm in as well. But I still want to see the movie, because I still think valid artistic effort has been put behind it. So,
and I mean, there's still a lot of Oscar buzz for Joaquin Phoenix about it, and that it's an amazing performance. So, you know,
yeah,
that makes me interested.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so
what do we got next?
Moving on, you want to talk Kevin Smith? He just dropped Clerks 3 stuff today.
Yeah, I didn't really read the article, so I'm not familiar with the Clerks 3 stuff other than, is there a script? Is that what it is?
The script is being completely rewritten from the version that's been floating around for the last, you know,
years. Came out with the, I want to say, the Clerks 3 script, like, maybe a year after Clerks 2. And he decided to put it on hold. So
they say they weren't interested in doing another movie.
I think it's the guy who plays Dante.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the two of them had a big falling out a long time ago, and doing two wasn't even particularly easy. But Kevin Smith's kind of, he's on this, you know, new kick of trying to make amends to people. He and Ben Affleck made up recently over the summer, which was good news for the Jay and Silent Bob reboot. And now they've made up to do this next movie. So, I mean, so that's Brian O'Halloran, and he'll be back. They'll all be back. Apparently the entire principal cast will be returning, which I assume means Rosario Dawson as well.
She
wasn't in the first one.
Yeah,
but
she was in the second one, so I imagine there's a possibility of that.
Yeah, she was a main character in the second one, mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that has me very interested. I like Clerks a lot. Clerks 2, I also enjoy quite a bit, so...
Ryan.
So, speaking of Kevin Smith...
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys know, but I'm a fan of a little YouTube show called Hot Ones. It's the show with hot questions and even hotter wings.
Yes, that show is hilarious.
Okay. Well, recently. Yeah, well, I've plugged them before, but that does more for us if we tag them than it does for them. But
that's probably true.
In any case, Kevin Smith, if you don't know what it is, it's a talk show where they bring a celebrity on, and they have, I think, 10 wings laid out of progressive spiciness, and they ask really deep interview questions. And while they're eating these wings, and the host also does it, they do it at the same time so that it's a shared pain
experience.
But supposedly Kevin Smith tweeted that they passed on him being a person to be interviewed on that show, and so they made their own Not Ones show for his YouTube channel, him and Jay. And
wow,
that caused a lot of controversy because that show is really popular.
It's one of the most popular YouTube shows,
especially probably the most popular interview show on YouTube. And and Kevin Smith is like a perfect fit for that show. So if that was true, then that was a pretty big deal that they would have rejected him. So then the host, Sean Evans of Hot Ones, tweeted out a video of him walking through what looked like an airport, explaining what had happened, and said that they had never said that they pass on Kevin Smith or something like that, and that they would love to have him on, and that they film 12 episodes per season, and they have these all planned out, and they travel all across the country to set up for these shows, and the shows take time to edit, so they couldn't fit him in on this current season, but that they really wanted to have him on, and that there was an ongoing conversation. And so he flat out said Kevin Smith was lying about this, which we all know, if you've watched any of his interviews, he does embellish a lot on things to make things more entertaining.
He does.
And so then he came back with a video and said, hey, man, I didn't want to, you know, throw shade at you. The internet kind of blew this up out of proportion, you know. But
did
to be
they,
fair,
though? Did they?
To be fair, he said the very first email that he ever got from them said, "We pass," or something along those lines. But that they had an ongoing conversation after that. It sounds like they want him on in 2020. And then supposedly Kevin Smith pitched Pot Ones. And and Sean Evans, the host of Hot Ones, said that he would love to come on for that if he did it. So he's a big fan of parodies of the show, so he likes to support those however he can. But in any case, kind of a big controversy unfolded over the past couple days. If you're a YouTube internet type person, then you might have seen some of the tweets and things like that. But
that's kind of funny.
It was cool. They were both actually really cordial about everything, which is not something you see very often, which was probably worth newsworthy in itself.
So here's a question.
Sure.
Is it all just a setup?
It could be.
Just to
go
viral?
There is a whole movement of people in the Hot Ones community that think that this whole thing was a setup and that he's going to be like the season finale or something, and that all this was to drum up more viewers and to promote for Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
Drums. Chicken. Wings.
So, yeah, there is that out there.
This is why I married that woman.
Very clever, Derek, that you figured that out. And, Ray, I'm going to ignore that thing.
It's fine.
But it was all right. I mean, you get 1 point for that. So
one.
Just one.
I mean, I've never seen the show, so I don't know anything about those guys.
You
I
really should.
Really give an
Watch
opinion,
the Terry Crews episode. Oh my gosh. If you don't fall in love with that, then...
It seems like a really fun concept, honestly. Yeah. I just never got around to it.
In the interviewer, Sean Evans is really amazing. He does so much research on people ahead of time, and his questions are always, almost always, the interviewer or the person being interviewed says something about how incredible the interview was, and these questions are amazing. And
well, that's great.
So it's really worth watching. The Terry Crews episode is probably my favorite.
As somebody who every convention gets asked the same five cosplay questions by podcast number 12, I appreciate really good questions. Yeah. I'm always stumped when somebody's like,
and
hey,
if you think
by
that's
the
bad,
way.
Like, imagine doing a press tour for a movie.
Exactly.
Where literally everybody's asking you the exact
same
questions.
Yeah, you have 39 interviews that, like, back to back, you don't move. And
yeah.
Well, and some of these actors who've been doing it like their entire lives and now they're in their 70s or 80s. I mean, what do you ask them anymore? Like, what do you ask William Shatner at this point or Morgan Freeman?
Who, press junkets are relatively new in the world of Hollywood, like within the last 30 years. So he wasn't doing it during the Star Trek in the same manner. Like they were still bombarded, of course, but it wasn't like the same as it is now. So. Yeah, I agree. What question do you have for William Shatner that he hasn't already answered a million times?
I love that show so much that I'm pretty sure they would find questions for him. That's how good of an interviewer
I believe
guy
it.
Is. So,
okay.
Seriously, check out the episodes. People, you'll love it.
Fair enough. Okay, so next up, we have more Spider-Man news.
Oh my god, every week it's a different thing that we're reporting on.
It's
okay.
Spider-Gate.
So, Sony has allowed Disney visitation rights on the weekends. Like, that's pretty much it. Disney came down about half of what they're...
Exactly.
But also five times what they were getting initially.
Exactly.
So, you know, both sides kind of...
Well, so... The big deal here, I think, I mean, the money is obviously important, but I think the biggest deal here is the way the Spider-Man character and universe is handled now. When the deal fell through, Disney was asking Sony for, 50%, but also the ability to completely control the entire Spider-Verse, which means future Venom films, Into the Spider-Verse, everything. In the new deal, Disney gets half as much money, and they do not get to control any of Sony's
half as much
projects.
As the initial offer, five times as much
offer.
Of what their original agreement was.
Yes,
so.
But they still get.
I think it's important to designate because they are making.
They're still making a ton
money.
Of money.
They are making more money, but Tom Holland's Spider-Man can appear in other non-MCU productions. So he could be in Venom 2. He could be in a standalone film in the Sony universe. And Sony does not have to listen to Disney as it pertains to their own films.
Yep.
And Kevin Feige actually seemed excited that he could move into the multi. He's the first like multiverse spanning character.
Well, part of the reason Sony said that they didn't like the initial deal is because Kevin would not be involved like he was. And they wanted to work with Kevin for, I mean, obvious reasons, right? And guess what? He will be working as a consultant and an executive producer on the project again, even though he's
so busy.
He's supposedly moving over to Star Wars now. So, you know, I understand why Sony might have been concerned about that, because once you've worked with somebody at an organization, working with somebody else may not provide the same experience.
Well, remember when Sony first came back about it and they were like, we realize how busy Kevin Feige is and that he probably doesn't have time to do this or whatever. That was their excuse. Yeah. And now, not only does he have time to do that, but he also has time to do a Star Wars project, you know? So
yeah, things got shuffled around pretty quick. And while, Disney's getting more money, I think at the end of the day, Sony got a much better deal out of this than I think.
Than what was originally proposed, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the original deal was never going to be in place. That 5%, like, come on, that was never going to be renewed. But I think this is the best Sony could have hoped for and still have a deal with Disney.
Right.
Right.
And it's only for one film plus possibly an appearance in another.
Right. They're going to do a Spider-Man trilogy. They'll finish that out. And then... It's a little wishy-washy, but from all the reports I've looked at, it kind of sounds like they mean one ensemble film, too.
Right.
So, one solo, one Avengers. Ensemble, something like that, yeah. Secret Avenger, wherever they're going with that. But yeah, it'll probably be the Avengers movie, beginning of Phase 5 or something.
The Avengers equivalent, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
So, they've already slotted in the time, the release date. July of 2021, I think?
Something like that.
It makes it actually, so this theoretically, if everything stays as is, Disney will be releasing 4 MCU films in 2021, which is the most they ever...
Plus, what, 2 or 3 MCU TV Disney shows. Plus shows?
Yeah. Yeah, which are apparently being handled by Marvel Studios now instead of Marvel Television, so...
Yeah, because Marvel Television is now going to all animated shows, supposedly. Right.
So they have their hands full. I'm going to bet that something from 2021 pushes. Not Spider-Man, but something else will move out of 2021, I think, to give Phase 4 some more breathing.
Well, I imagine it'll be, you know, the whatever ensemble movie is going to be.
That's not 2021.
Not you're right.
Yeah, 2021, I don't even remember, but it is four films.
Next year is only 2 films, right? Yeah. And 2 shows, right? Or is it 3 shows and 2 films?
So it's Captain Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the What If series, and Loki, I believe.
I thought What If was 2021.
Is it? We had this whole timeline. Yeah. We talked about all of this. I can't keep it all in
my head. Well, the movies are Black Widow and the Eternals.
Next year.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And Shang-Chi, I think, is 2021.
With Black Panther 2.
No.
No, that's the next year.
That's 2022?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Man.
There's a lot of stuff.
Doctor Strange 2.
Yeah.
And there was a third one.
Thor Love and Thunder.
Thor, yeah. Yeah, that was it.
There you go. Okay. So I don't know. I would imagine something may push to 2022, just with Marvel Studios taking on also the TV shows. That's just a lot of content for that organization to scale up to that in the span of a year. That's not easy.
Mm-mm.
So.
Yeah. Okay. So.
What else we got? Any other news?
Didn't you?
There was a big prop store auction.
Yeah.
People bought
stuff. I wasn't
stuff.
As prepared as I thought I would be for this, but yeah, they sold a lot of like big ticket stuff from big ticket movies, Ghostbusters, Star Wars, they had The Shining,
yep.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail. They had Luke's lightsaber. Was 147,600 pounds it sold for. I don't know what the conversion rate is, but that's a lot of money.
It is. It's probably around 100 grand.
The axe from The Shining sold for 172,200.
That's cool.
Pounds.
You'd buy that.
And what do you think? What do you think the Holy Hand Grenade of Antioch sold for Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
I saw it was for sale. I couldn't believe it that the thing still exists. I don't know. 80? 80,000?
67,650. So it's a bargain, Derek.
Okay.
A bargain.
It's a steal, guys.
Yeah.
It's a steal.
I think this is just going off memory, so I might be wrong, but I think one of the ghost traps the ghost trap that they had went from like 245,000 pounds. I don't know, whatever that is in American dollars. But yeah.
Not quite half.
There was a guy in one of the Ghostbusters groups that bought, in one of the Ghostbusters Facebook groups that bought the screen used jumpsuit, Stance jumpsuit that they had for sale in there. I think he paid like 60 grand for it.
That's how is awesome. The trap more than the screen
the trap?
Worn suit?
Are you kidding me?
It's a screen worn
yeah,
suit.
Yeah, but the trap is iconic.
I think personally, I'd rather have something the actor
really?
Like wore. Yeah,
I don't know. I'd rather have the
so
trap.
So you could smell it, you weirdo.
Well,
he wants to wear it. He wants to smell like Ray Stance.
People do this with like athletic jerseys and stuff, right? You get it sealed in a frame and you put it on the wall and you can have it there. Whereas you know the trap, I guess you can put it in. A
it's easier
case,
to display, yeah.
But I don't know. I'd rather have the suit.
Different strokes for different folks. I'd rather have the trap.
Not for that price difference.
No. The price difference, the suit was a bargain.
Right.
But, yeah. So, check that out. Prop Store of London, I think it is, that was doing it.
So, was that the same auction that was selling the, like, really creepy falling apart Ninja Turtle head?
I believe it was, yeah.
For 10 grand?
Yeah, Ninja Turtle, but it was from the third movie, the one where they looked like frogs.
And
so
that was a bad movie,
they looked
man.
Bad when they were in good condition, but...
yeah, they did. I mean, they looked like a good piece of work, but not like good Ninja Turtles, yeah.
No, right. But now this one's like all like eroded and
this
looks
one looks
funky.
Like if you've played the Five Nights at Freddy's, it looks like looks like one of the animatronics from Five Nights at Freddy's.
I like it. I like it. Thing of nightmares.
Jeez.
Cool.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I think that's it.
Okay.
All right, guys, we're going to take a very short break here for the podcast. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. This is Ray from the Heroes Podcast Network. Currently, you've probably heard me on a show called Screen Heroes, where we discuss movies and TV shows about superheroes, sci-fi, and a little bit of fantasy. Well, I love fantasy so much, I am starting a brand new podcast about fantasy television series. We are going to review these series in a bit more detail than what Screen Heroes usually does. We'll discuss multiple episodes for a whole continuous arc and then move on to another series. Spellbound will review shows, new shows like The Witcher, Good Omens, Carnival Row, and Dark Crystal: Age of Resistance. We're also going to look back at previous shows such as American Gods and Avatar: The Last Airbender, old miniseries from the 90s like Leprechauns and the 10th Kingdom, and we're going to do a movie here and there, maybe even a little bit of fantasy upcoming news, who knows. You'll be able to follow Spellbound at SpellboundCast on Twitter for the latest fantasy news about the show, about the upcoming shows that we'll be discussing. You can also listen to us Fridays coming in September. Hey everyone, we are back and we are going to talk about our rewatchable movies. Not necessarily favorites, not necessarily greats, but the ones we find ourselves watching over and over and over. We're also going to talk about what makes these movies rewatchable and exactly which movies we think in 2019, 2020 will become rewatchable movies.
Okay, I didn't prepare for that part, so that should be interesting.
I'm just adding some spice. I'm like Salt Bae all on you.
That's like this, Rachel. You got to get it right.
Sorry.
Such a visual podcast.
Really right.
Well, we do live stream this on Twitch every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. So
that's true. Twitch.tv/HeroesPodcast.
Suck it.
With an S.
Ray, why don't you kick us off then?
All right, so one of it's my absolute favorite movie, but it is kind of a slog. So I watch it now every Christmas. It's Wizard of Oz.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Jingle All the Way.
No, that's actually right after Wizard of Oz. But I watch it every Christmas. I have for the last like 4 or 5 years, and I find that not as many people enjoy that movie as much as I thought. Nobody enjoys it as much as I do, but I thought people like really liked it. And the movie is like 3 hours and I just sit there and sing a lot. So I rewatch it because it just brings me joy. Even to this day, I like tear up at the end, and I find so much value in every single character, and I loved all the behind the scenes, how they did all the special effects, since, you know, it was the 1930s where they were filming. There was a lot of drama on set. There were 4 directors, and
there was a suicide that you can see on screen.
That it's been debunked so many
times. Nope, it's fact.
No.
Wow.
Anyway, not my most rewatchable film. I couldn't sit and watch this every single weekend, but it is my favorite, and I do watch it at a specific time every single year. So I wanted to just get that out of the way first so we could talk about some more
stuff. I went with movies that I could watch every weekend.
Okay.
Because that seems more rewatchable to me than a movie that I watch once every 365 days.
So I do want to throw out that I used to watch The Wizard of Oz a lot.
Because really?
My mother loves that movie so much. But when we moved out here, because my family's not from Kansas City, when we moved out here, we discovered that
the yellow brick road was not real.
No. People from here really hate when you bring up The Wizard of Oz.
It's true.
Not all of us.
Well, most of us.
It does look like that, though, like the brown sepia tone. Like,
yeah, Kansas is just like completely.
Yeah, we have a Zack Snyder filter on all the time. Yeah.
All the time. You guys should make it out here.
So, Ryan, what's one of yours?
I feel like there's going to be a lot of crossover on a lot of our lists.
Yeah, probably, so, but that's okay.
I don't know how long. This might be the shortest podcast ever. We'll see. I'm going to put one that I wouldn't guess that either of you would have on your list. Also, one that you probably wouldn't guess that I have on my list. It's a musical.
Ooh.
It's not the musical you're thinking of that you know I like. This is one of my little guilty pleasures, Grease.
No way.
I enjoy Grease.
All right. Huh. Learn something new about Ryan.
Yeah, listen. John Travolta kills it.
He does.
Olivia Newton-John kills it. There's she a fast does. Car. There's a song about the fast car.
There's a song about the fast
It'll car. Make the girls cream.
And it might make me cream. That's a nice car, okay? Let's get real.
Did
but
you know they censored that line when they played it on TV?
They did, yeah.
That movie, I've watched a lot. Yeah. And a lot of these movies are different now because they might not be on streaming services or a lot of these movies were movies that when I was flipping channels, you know, growing up, they would be on a lot.
Yes. Yes.
And so
same.
I find that nowadays the rewatchable movies aren't quite the same for me. There's a few, but
that's fair.
I do feel like I could go watch that one again anytime.
We actually just watched that one not too long ago.
Yeah. I didn't think you were a fan, Rachel. Of that movie.
Why?
For some reason, I feel like I thought I'd heard you talk trash on that movie.
Okay,
in the past.
So when I was a kid, I absolutely adored it. I'm a huge musical fan. Like, there's not that many musicals out there that I hate, but Grease doesn't age that well. There's a lot of rape jokes, there's a lot of drugging the chicks kind of joke, or, you know. So there are certain parts that don't age well, but there are like wonderful parts that have aged beautifully. And you're totally right. Travolta and Newton-John are just amazing together. So I don't watch it as often as I used to, but I still like, I love it.
It's funny, you guys are like making the list my mom would be really happy with.
Yeah.
She also loves Grease, so I've seen that a million
times.
She's
about to become this number one Screen Heroes fan.
I know, that's great. So I do like Grease, except for literally the very end where the car flies off.
Screw you.
Like, it just... But the rest of the movie's all grounded in a sense of reality, you know, except I guess maybe the when they're singing in the
diner
in the mechanic shop and like it becomes a totally different location.
What about the diner
seconds?
Where she completely hallucinates an angel coming to sing to her? Like, chill out.
Yeah,
it's,
Derek, I feel like you're being really
there are
nitpicky.
Some fantastical elements here that I think you're forgetting.
The car flying away just was too much. That was jumping the shark for Grease.
Really?
Oh,
more
my
than
gosh.
An angel suddenly appearing and
right.
Like, I mean, it could have just been a person who walked in. Like, the car flies away.
It's Grease Lightning. They said it flies in the song.
I don't think that's what they meant.
Well, you don't know what they meant. Clearly, that's what they meant.
Sandy wasn't going to cream in front of everybody.
Right. Come on. They had to go. They had to get to a private place.
Of course. Of course.
Your logic is flawed. It's your turn.
That's
you
my turn,
you yeah. pick a movie.
All right. So I'm going to go
with a musical. You have to now.
I don't have a musical on my list.
Well, then you have to leave
that's
the podcast. Like,
you didn't pick a musical for your first one. The Wizard of Oz is classified as a musical?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
There's like 15 songs and dance numbers.
I don't know what the qualifications for musical are. It's something like, I don't think it's song number. I think it's like percentage of it that's sung or something like that.
It's when the characters just break out in song as opposed to.
You would know better than I would.
Huh.
Yeah.
I
multiple
mean, I knew
times.
It was a musical,
like
but...
there's a few things where people have, you know, musical breaks for fun. Like, I wouldn't call 40-Year-Old Virgin a musical, even though they have that spontaneous break
at
the way they end it. But
they have to just be woven into the story.
Yeah.
I never really thought about. I've never considered that The Wizard of Oz was a musical. That's very interesting.
Yes, it is.
You've just altered Derek's entire reality.
It totally is. Everything about it.
Well, I'm very sorry. I don't have a musical on my list. I guess if I was going to pick one. Just to throw one out there real
Cats,
quick.
The new Cats
no,
movie.
It would be the newer Muppets movie. The Muppets movie.
Over
yes.
Little Shop of Horrors? Come on.
Oh, man.
If you were going to pick a musical,
See, I
thought
was,
that's where you're going.
Neither of those were on my list, right? But yeah, I mean, Little Shop of Horrors is absolutely fantastic and wonderful. But my pick is Rocky IV. Just going to go with my pick, Rocky IV. So I'm a huge Rocky fan. I love the franchise.
Never heard of it.
Except for 5. And Rocky IV is just as ridiculous as Rocky gets. It's, mm-hmm. You know, spoilers, even though Apollo dies in it, it's the least serious of all of the Rocky movies. It's taken the least seriously.
It's definitely the most, like, cartoony.
Yeah. Like, it's really, like, where it... That's where the franchise kind of went off the rails a little bit, but in just this beautiful, amazing way where you end up with the workout montage that's been parodied 1,000 times over. And Stallone's like the most ripped he's ever been in his life because he's on horse steroids. And Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, he was more shredded than a julienne salad.
Love it.
And I mean, Uncle Paulie's got a robot for some reason now, and Dolph Lundgren's just fantastic. It's so great. The fight scenes go on forever. They fight for like 50 rounds, and I just love everything about that movie. The soundtrack's incredible.
I absolutely adore Dolph Lundgren saying that he will break him.
I will break you.
Right? Like, ooh, I tingle.
And like they really, I mean, it was a Cold War era film, right? Because Rocky gets kind of preachy at the end. And it's just, it's so great that they did the David and Goliath thing. Because Stallone's not a very big guy, actually, in real life. And Dolph Lundgren is...
It's huge.
Yeah. And so, like, it's a pretty great...
That's a huge bitch. Sorry.
It's a pretty great dichotomy. And I just, yeah, I don't know. Ryan, thoughts?
I like Rocky IV. Not one I'd rewatch a bunch of, like... regularly. I'd watch it like once a year if somebody wanted to watch it with me, but I wouldn't watch it like every weekend.
Oh man, I had a VHS of that we recorded off a TV and I just ran it into the ground. I love that one so much.
That tracks. I mean, like I can see you doing that.
Ray?
Okay, so I promise this is the last one and then I'll get off of this. I have another musical. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And I watched this movie about once every 3 or 4 months because I adore it. I'll watch it in the mornings before I go to work. I love Gene Wilder. I love the whimsy and the happiness that stems from this. I love the kind of horror aspects in the background and sometimes in the foreground, like in the tunnel. But the movie is just so magical even today. I like, again, great practical effects that hold up on screen. The story's wonderful. It's powered by good actors. So I'm on board for it for the rest of my life. I'm just going to keep watching it.
That tunnel scene is still very creepy.
Yes. Yes. The like, yeah, the head getting cut off the chicken and all the worms. And it's creepy.
I think that's a movie that I liked more as a kid, and now as an adult when I kind of notice things more, it's just there's some messed up stuff. Like his grandpa is fine, right? Like why isn't he working anywhere?
Yeah.
He's not fine though.
I mean, he seems pretty fine as soon as the golden ticket shows up.
No, he's having trouble walking.
For like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Because he's been laying less than that
because he sings a song and by the end of the song he's fine.
You're right. Yeah, like he's once they get to the factory.
Well, maybe they didn't know that the power of music would heal him so much.
That's what it was.
I don't care. Some of the characters are problematic. Like every adult sucks, but most of the kids are a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like the kids. Even though most of them die.
That is another reason why I kind of enjoy Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, because they explain what happens to the kids at the end and none of them are dead. Some of them are transformed, but nobody's dead. So
oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
I never saw that one all the way through.
That's not true. We watched it together. I sat with you and you were like, let's not do this again. And I was like, okay,
Ryan.
Okay, so I want to preface this by in chat saying that we had Midnight Pearl recognizing Rachel's Deuce Bigelow reference, but disappointing me because I made a reference to my next movie as a teaser to what my next pick would be, and that did not get recognized. So Midnight Pearl, up your game.
Jesus.
I'm calling you out. My next movie is Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
I could watch that movie probably every 2 days for the rest of my life, and I would not get sick of it.
That is one of my favorite movies to like put on right before I go to bed. I fall asleep. I wake up 20 minutes later, laugh, go back to sleep. Like, I love that movie.
It shouldn't have been okay to make.
No.
Like, no. There's so many things that should have been horrible in this movie, and it was not. It was magic. Everything in it was magic. I love it.
Yeah.
I cannot get enough of that movie.
I'm still unsure why, like, people weren't actually mad about this movie.
Oh. The R-word scene. I'm not going to say it, but that brought on a lot of issues. Like, a lot of people protested because of it. The blackface thing, I have never actually heard somebody complain about that.
No, and like I have a few black friends, not a ton of black friends, but a few black friends, and I've asked them about this before, and everybody I've asked that is black about this movie, why it wasn't offensive to people of you know.
Was it because of the parody aspect or something?
It would be said because it was taken so far like it was making fun of the actor,
yeah,
and not making fun of the race.
That's a good point.
That's the explanation I've gotten. None of them had a problem with it. In fact, most of them thought it was hilarious.
So I appreciate that, though, because you have to watch the movie to know that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you just watch the trailer, like it, you know, it just looks like Robert Downey Jr. did blackface. And if you look at that and you wanted to be upset, how could I blame you? Like, if anybody else did that, that would not be okay. And for some reason, just, I guess, the way it was written and the fact that it was Robert Downey Jr.,
I can almost guarantee that, you know, just because I haven't seen ire from people doesn't mean it didn't exist.
Oh, sure. So I don't mean literally, no.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But no, that movie was not a safe bet. Like, there's drugs and nudity and, you know, Tom Cruise coming out of nowhere being a complete
asshole. Not credited even, I don't think.
Asshole. So great. It was
It's
wonderful.
His best role, maybe.
I don't know about that, but it's an amazing cameo.
I like a lot of his stuff.
It's,
but I mean,
one of the best cameos ever made. Yeah.
For sure.
Really great cameo. Like,
and he wasn't like in the billing at all when you saw a trailer. Nothing said. So you were just left to go look at him and go, is that Tom Cruise?
And then
like,
he does the dancing at the end to the apple
the
bottom
credits,
jeans. Yeah.
So good.
So great.
Like, I think that's why I continue to like Tom Cruise, because I know he's gone off the rails a few times, but he has such a good sense of humor about himself.
Yeah.
That I can
that he would do a role like this, and I think he actually was the one that suggested that the character look this way and like dance
that's
that
fair.
Way. So you know his sense of comedy is very good. If that's true,
this just goes to show you that like I tend to like Ben Stiller more as a director than I do as an actor.
Yeah, he directed Cable Guy too. So
yeah. And Reality Bites, and I just tend to like that a bit more.
Fun thing about that movie, if you've never watched the commentary, there's a throwaway line in the movie that says Sergeant Osiris, Robert Downey Jr.'s character, he says, I don't drop the character until the DVD commentary. He does the whole commentary
in character.
In character.
Jeez, man. That's fantastic.
And it's worth watching just for that reason alone.
God, I love Robert Downey Jr.
I guess I gotta do that.
Though. Right?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I don't watch commentary.
Well, it is
often.
Sitting right over
there.
Yeah,
we have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. So I guess I'll go for my next pick then.
Yes.
So I'll go with the Galaxy Quest.
It's a good one. I didn't put it on my list, but because I knew you were going to say it or Rachel would say it.
Well, this whole podcast was prompted by a conversation we had in our private messenger chat the other day.
Which was prompted by a Reddit thread I saw about someone in one of the smaller movie subreddits said, what are your most rewatchable movies? And I said, you know what? I wonder if my best friends in the world, what if they would agree with me or what different movies
they
have.
You and I had a lot of overlap.
There was a lot of crossover. But I was mostly curious in the differences rather than the overlap. So
that's fair. So to disappoint Midnight Pearl, there's not going to be a Star Trek movie on my list because it's Galaxy Quest. Because
it's the best Star Trek movie ever.
It's one of the best Star Trek movies for damn sure. Galaxy Quest is a joy. It is so much fun to watch. If you're a Trekkie, you love it because it's a parody of Star Trek. It's a parody of the show itself, the fans, the concepts, the conventions, all of it. And if you're not a Star Trek fan, it's a wonderful sci-fi comedy with an incredible cast. I mean,
and an incredible makeup and effects team.
Oh, yeah. Like, through the roof, everything looks amazing in that movie. All of it. The prosthetic work looks amazing. The ship model, the costuming. Like,
I got
all
to
of
see
it.
Saris in real life, and he was just as beautiful up close.
Incredible.
As he was in the movie. It was gorgeous, yeah.
You know, this movie just kind of comes out of nowhere. It's quirky. It's weird. There's tiny things about it. It's shot in three different aspect ratios, which confused movie theaters when it first came out. But it opens up with the TV show, and that's in an old 4:3. It moves out to 16:9. And then when the doors open up and he realizes he's actually in space, when Tim Allen realizes he's in space, it moves to the full widescreen of the movie theater. And it's a really cool effect that you can't see on the VHS or the DVD, but it's just everything about that movie is just fantastic.
Did you know that Saris was named after a critic that panned the director's previous movie?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So
do you know what the movie was?
I don't remember. I'll have look it up. But he totally lambasted it. It made it just like ripped it a new one. And when he found out that he was a character in the other one, he was like, what are they going to do? I'm 80 years old and the most successful critic out there. Like, it's not even an insult.
It's fair.
So I thought it was funny.
Yeah, a lot of people have avoided the movie over the years, especially Trekkies, because they think it's poking fun at them. It's laughing at them. But Patrick Stewart actually wouldn't go see the movie at first because he thought that. And he's very proud of the franchise and the work that he's done on it. And Jonathan Frakes told him, who he plays Riker, he told him, you have to go see the movie. You really do. Trust me. And he did, and he loved every minute of it because it's a love story to the franchise.
It's much like the Orville, where it's like you could take it as a parody, but it's really not. It's more of a love letter and an homage to the series.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you can just sit down and just enjoy it for what it is, it's incredible. And
really, Trekkies probably would enjoy it more because there's so many subtle things that maybe the average moviegoer wouldn't get. But if you're a Trekkie, then you think it's hilarious, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, just the cast alone. Forget, like, the cast is phenomenal. You know, you've got Tim Allen, Sigourney Weaver,
Alan Rickman,
and it just goes on from there. It's really a wonderful, wonderful cast. Mm-hmm. So that's my pick.
Cool. My turn?
Your turn, Rachel.
Jurassic fucking Park. I watch this movie so often. I was sick earlier this month. We even missed a podcast because of it, and I commented on it. But I was stuck laying in bed, and I watched Jurassic Park. And when I was done watching Jurassic Park, I told Derek to put on Jurassic Park again. And he was like, are you sure you don't want to watch two or three? And I was like, no, I just want to watch number one. I love three for that reason. The bird scene's terribly frightening. Like, that's really good, well-shot horror kind of stuff. But, or I should say the pterodons, not the birds. But whatever. Anyway.
The birdosaurs.
Jurassic Park holds up. It's a classic sci-fi film. It's a classic action film. I'm going to just go out on a limb. I personally, subjectively think that it's Spielberg's best work. But that's just me.
Ever.
That is just you.
Yeah. And that's fine. That's I don't have to. I know you really liked Ready Player One.
All right. That's not true.
Anyway, you can fight me on how much of rewatchable this is or whatnot, but you can't say it's a bad movie because it's not. Everybody notoriously disagrees with you. So that's it. I can love that movie.
Yeah, I mean, I've voiced my distaste for some of the Jurassic movies in the past. Well, but the original Jurassic Park is not one of those movies that I would voice distaste for. I still think it's a great movie. It's not like it didn't impact me so much as it did you guys. Mm-hmm. I was not as into dinosaurs as a lot of kids were.
Oh, that's fair. I had a bunch of dinosaurs.
Really cool. Like, it was a great movie. It was extremely well made. The practical effects still hold up. But for me, not that rewatchable. Despite it being a great movie, I would never argue that. And if somebody wanted to watch it with me, I would watch it with them. But not like every day or probably even every year, really.
How about you?
It's one of my favorite movies of all time. Yeah. I love it. I can watch it at any time. It was on my list. Nice. But I'll replace it with something else. But it's, it holds up very, very well, and the cast is also a lot of fun. The dialogue is great. It's a very dialogue heavy film, and I'm a huge fan of that. And I mean, the rest of the franchise may not hold up very well to it.
They're rewatchable for different reasons. You know,
I think that most of the cast in this movie this was probably their best movie for most of them, or maybe not most, but a good majority of them. Maybe not Samuel L. Jackson and not Jeff Goldblum. But.
Damn good ensemble film. All of them working together. Like, I mean, Sam Neill is a very stable actor. He gets constant roles, and he's never bad in anything, even in the stuff that's bad.
This is the role I think of him for. So.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I mean, Samuel L. Jackson was basically an unknown at the time.
Right, like he was killed off screen.
And it's way outside of his normal character, too. So. Mm-hmm.
But it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Ryan, your turn.
Okay. So keep in mind, I'm trying to pick movies that are not on your guys' list because I want you guys to have the movies that are on your list and have us give us more to talk about.
No,
so,
but you still have to talk about like your faves and stuff.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if we have enough time for that. Fight Club.
Really? That's rewatchable for you?
Yeah.
Okay, why?
I really like that. Well, You know, I don't have a good answer for that.
Okay. It's just a little bit dark. So far, everything we've talked about is kind of fun.
But it's not so, it's not like Logan dark. Like for me, it's just the, it's just the right amount of dark to where I can watch it over again and over again and not get depressed.
There's a decent amount of levity in there.
And nothing is taken so seriously. It's all presented kind of cartoonishly, right?
Like that's
the,
true.
The characters going to the meetings that are very serious, people with problems and addictions and whatever else. But the way the characters handle it is not in that way.
Right. So like all of a sudden you're in your head and it's a penguin.
Right. You know,
habitat. And
yeah. Even like the stuff at the end where probably a bunch of people died and, right. you know, things like that were not handled in a way that really made you think that a bunch of people died.
Yeah.
You were more concerned about what was going on and what the main characters were. And even knowing the whole twist at the end, it actually makes it a better movie when you go rewatch it, I think.
Oh, okay.
At least in my opinion. Maybe this isn't a popular choice. But for me, I've watched that movie a lot. And
it's definitely surprising, you know. I wasn't thinking we were going to have a lot of dark on here.
There's, maybe it doesn't come across as dark for me as it does maybe for some other people. I don't know.
Interesting. I've actually never seen it.
Really?
He hasn't.
Yeah, so I can't speak to that.
Okay. I don't know that it would be that impactful for you now as it was when the movie came out. It's one of those things where, you know, when it hits the theaters in the right time and people haven't seen things like it before, then it's more impactful. But now there's been other movies that have come out that have tried to emulate the same kind of thing, and so maybe it wouldn't be as enjoyable for you. But we should do that sometime, review that movie, or at least you and I watch it and
be friends, hang out.
It's on my short list of ones I've been meaning to see. So. Yeah. Okay, so I guess for me then, the next one on my list would be Independence Day. I'll just do my two sci-fi ones back to back. So
nice.
I'm a huge sci-fi fan. Everybody who listens to the show knows that. I'm a giant Will Smith fan. I love Jeff Goldblum. Bill Pullman's wonderful. So this movie's just kind of a perfect situation for me. But it's quotable. It's action-packed. It's some of those effects don't hold up very well anymore. All of, like, when the alien ships pan over the screen, it's pretty rough. But the actual aliens themselves still look great. And it's just still...
That's because they were practical.
That's exactly right. But still a very like fun, well-written, kind of campy and cheesy film. And if you don't like Bill Pullman's president speech, his 4th of July speech, I just can't even talk to you. So
it is wonderful. Like there's so many times where I just want to scream, we will not go quietly into the night. Like, but I can't. I'm not Bill Pullman.
It's the best movie speech ever given. Hands down.
Oh.
Yep.
That's extreme.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I like Independence Day. I think it's a great movie that was came out again at the perfect time and was relevant to the culture and great cast, great lines. But for me, it's like Jurassic Park. It was a movie I hold into a deep spot in my heart that I really enjoyed when it came out and thought it was great. But I don't rewatch it. So
that's fair.
But I rewatch Fight Club, so you know, take it for what it's worth.
Well, like I said, I never saw it, so I don't know, but yeah.
All right, so my next one, I don't know if this is going to be my last one, but my next one I have to do a shout out because it is a terrible 90s movie.
We're doing five. You got two more.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Terrible 90s movie. It completely went under the radar in everybody I talked to. No one's ever seen it, but it stars French Stewart. It's called Love Stinks, and I used to watch that after every...
Is that the guy from Third Rock from the Sun?
Yes, yes. I used to watch that.
Movies?
He did.
Okay.
After every breakup, because I kept seeing it going, well, nothing's as bad as this. These two, French Stewart and his counterpart, like the two of them have the worst relationship, and it always makes me feel better. And there are some weird cameos in this film that you don't expect, but absolutely hilarious. It's super like vulgar, but not in the way that it like puts you off where it seems like low hanging fruit. It's like blue comedy before Hangover, Bridesmaids kind of era. So
interesting.
Yeah, it's a really basic movie. It is not good. Like Tyra Banks is a principal cast member, for God's sake.
Okay.
So just set your expectations really low. But I caught this one day on HBO when I was in high school and well after it had come out. And I still just rewatch it after every breakup and I just laugh and laugh and laugh. Hopefully, you know, I don't have to watch it again because of that reason. And I just get to show you what a ridiculous movie
I'm sure
it is.
He can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, I've never
It's right
it.
Up there.
Wait, you own it?
I do.
Okay,
I own
this is
this
yours. Because yeah. I thought this collection, I always think of that this is Derek's. I always
no,
forget
this,
that some of that is yours. But
we merged our collections. It was mm-hmm. a big day. So I've never seen it. My breakup movie is High Fidelity, which is pretty cliche, I think.
Do you have a breakup movie?
No.
Okay. Just
I'm a serial monogamist. My relationships last so long that I would have watched that movie like four times in my life.
I mean, fair enough, but
maybe more than that, but still. Yeah.
All right. I was just the dichotomy. Mine's just very cliche. High Fidelity is very much a breakup movie. So.
Okay. Never seen that either.
Oh, you should see High Fidelity.
That is a legitimately
good
film.
No, I mean,
film,
I've heard it's very good.
You know, Jack Black is in
John Cusack.
Prime Jack Blackness.
Yeah. Yeah, you should borrow it. It's very good.
More prime Jack Black than Cable Guy?
Than Tropic Thunder. Than okay. Tenacious D. It's prime Jack Black.
That's saying something.
All right, Ryan, your next one.
My next one. Let's go a little bit more recent. Thor Ragnarok has become one for
Ooh,
me.
Okay. Okay.
I don't rewatch Marvel movies generally. But that one, well, I don't know if it's still on Netflix. I'd probably check. But when it was on Netflix, I watched it probably once a month for a little while. I mean, I think it's probably my favorite Marvel movie. Even I know it's not the best, and there's movies I would put ahead of it in terms of just like cinematic appeal and you know general movie. But it's probably my personal favorite of the Marvel universe, and I think that the humor is perfect and. You know, there's things about the movie that aren't perfect, but the cast coming together is great. The direction is wonderful. It just works for me on almost every level. And yeah, this is by far my most rewatchable like Marvel movie. And just in general, it's one of the most rewatchable movies for me in recent years, especially.
That's cool. It's certainly a lot of fun. That's very interesting. I don't have any Marvel movies on my list.
Yeah.
But
what if you had to pick the most rewatchable Marvel movie for you, what would it be?
The first Iron Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the other one that I've watched a good amount, but
I love that movie. I still think it's Endgame aside is the best of the MCU and it's just a lot of fun to watch and it's the oldest too, so it's the easiest to say that about cuz I've seen it the most.
Yeah.
Know? It's been out the longest.
What about you, Rachel, if you had to pick a Marvel movie?
So both of those would be on my list. Both of those I've rewatched just this year, let alone a total. So I different than that. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Age of Ultron because I find that every time I watch it, I like it a little bit more.
Yeah.
I find
you guys
it a
did not like
more.
It when it came out.
No,
we came to blows almost over it. So
I was pretty bothered by it. I thought it was messy and clunky in places. And there are still places.
And that's still true.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I think it suffers from the Spider-Man 3 syndrome, just too much ideas in one. But I think it's handled a lot better. It had more space to grow and develop. So I think the depth that's there is really enjoyable. So
that's fair.
I've watched that one a few more times just because I tend to like it more and more every time.
Eventually, it'll overtake the original Avengers as your favorite Avengers movie.
Oh, I think Endgame already did that.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. That just had too much fan service in it for me. I can't deny that. Can't deny it. I'm a fangirl. That's what I do.
No, it's hard to rank Endgame with the rest because it's the culmination of all of them.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of hard to see it on its own because it can't stand on its own. It needs the others. That's the point.
Yeah.
You know, so. All right. So I guess my next pick then. So I've got two left here. So I am going to go with The Princess Bride.
Nice.
It's on all of our lists, I'm sure.
Yes.
Oddly enough, I didn't get to see this movie until college. I didn't know about it. I had never even heard of it for some reason. And, I mean, the first time I watched it, it immediately became one of my favorite movies ever. I will watch that movie anytime. I don't even care when. It's just so good. Just everything about it's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know?
Can't wait for the remake.
Please, no.
So I'm not one of those people that think a remake can ruin things, can go back and tarnish. But like, what could a remake bring to it that's different? Like, just new actors? I mean,
that's the thing. Like, yeah. Some stuff you remake because now we have the technology to really see through the vision that they didn't have the ability to do.
Or like, the person just didn't nail the story. Like, some bad movies can be remade.
That's fair. That's definitely fair. But, yeah, with this, I mean,
there's no weak points.
What are you going to make look better? You know, the costumes are great. The sets are fun. The dialogue's amazing. I mean, it's one of the most well-written and directed films I've ever seen. And it's just a joy.
You want to see a different Princess Bride or something new? Like, watch Stardust. That is a spiritual successor. It does pretty much the exact same kind of fantasy story where everybody is playing a serious comedic role and going after the same stuff, and they all meet up. Like, watch Stardust, because that is usually on my list. I rewatch that one pretty often. But yeah, definitely same vein. If you like Princess Bride, you'll like Stardust, and it's a more modern film. So you have your successor, you have your sequel.
I second that, and we'll just add to it, if you like Robert De Niro at all, he has a relatively small role, but it's like one of my favorite roles.
Claire Danes, Robert De Niro, Charlie Cox, Michelle Pfeiffer, Henry Cavill, Naomi Watts, or no, Sienna Miller, excuse me. Like, it just goes on and on. Just watch Stardust.
That's fair.
Yeah, I've never seen it, but I probably need to because all those names sound awesome.
Right. Oh, Mark Strong.
Yeah, he's all right.
Just kidding. Okay, so my last one, I did have Stardust on my list, but since you said Princess Bride, I just piggybacked. Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Nice.
I actually just rewatched that like last week.
I think I watched it maybe 2 weeks ago. I think it's the most quotable of the Mel Brooks films. I think it's the one that holds up the most. It doesn't slog at all. I find myself just randomly quoting it to friends. I'll send them messages out of nowhere. It's like, did you say Abe Lincoln? And
no, I said Abe Lincoln.
I said, hey, Blinken. Yeah.
It's hilarious. You've got a wonderful lead. You have wonderful supporting characters. Just silly slapstick comedy. It never punches down. It never like
no. It's never. I mean, it's not really dumb comedy at any point.
No,
yeah, it's
a little.
It's not like smart comedy, but you know, it's you never feel like it's fart jokes and.
But it's also not like. Based on racism or a homophobia or anything.
Just
so
a
like,
lot of silly stuff. And then there's some sex jokes, but there's a lot of silly
stuff. It's very typical
mainly.
Mel Brooks type movie. So.
And Patrick Stewart shows up for 30 seconds.
He does. So great.
That blew my mind when I first saw that.
By the way. I'm sure.
I think that was
the
first not Star Trek thing I ever saw him in.
Well, I was blown away because of the rap at the very beginning and the end. Not because it's good. It's not a good rap, guys. It's not.
It's wonderful.
But every single movie was doing like their own personal rap song at the time. Like Adam's Family had their own and Wild Wild West. Like anything with Will Smith had its own rap music.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So it was just like the thing. And so Mel Brooks parodied everything from start to finish.
Nailed it.
Right? I got this.
I think my favorite scene in Robin Hood Men in Tights is at the creek with Little John, where they have to fight with the sticks.
Oh, and he falls in?
And, like, the stick just, it keeps breaking, and it just keeps getting smaller and smaller, and...
And they smack each other's fingers.
Yeah.
When it's tiny.
It's just
yeah.
so good.
It's not really the mighty Mississippi.
Right? I'm on the east side.
I'm on the west side.
See,
sorry,
like...
Guys, sorry. Dave Chappelle is so good in that movie. Is. All right.
Right.
My last one. Well, I'm kind of torn on which one to go with. But
right.
For me personally, it's probably going to be Big Trouble in Little China.
Yes.
I know you guys weren't as big of a fan of it as I was, but it for me.
I saw it like that first time at the theater with
you. Yeah,
you
guys had a bad experience. You know, like, that's not the place to see. We went to Alamo Draft House. They showed it on the original 8mm film. 35mm, sorry. And it was a quote along. And if you've ever been to one of those at Alamo Drafthouse, it's not a good experience for the first time seeing a movie, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It kind of taints the movie.
Well, it was like your 100th time seeing Labyrinth. Yeah. You still didn't enjoy it.
No, I did not enjoy it. I'm not a guy that wants to quote the movie along with other people there. I might do it if I'm by myself, but I want to enjoy the movie because that's why I'm there. But that movie, again, just like a lot of the other ones we've talked about, it was perfect, you know, casting, perfect acting, perfect directing. Everything just worked out, and it came into something that was really magical to watch. And, you know, I hope you guys watch it again outside of that.
Oh, I have since.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Did you appreciate it more after that? Okay.
It grows on you, for sure.
So, yeah, for me, you know, I have other favorite movies that are on my list, but they're probably not as rewatchable for me as Big Trouble in Little China. So.
Nice.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So my last one won't really come as a surprise to people that listen to the show, but it's Clue. Clue is my favorite movie.
Can't wait for the remake.
That one, I am excited for the remake.
I'm still on the fence about it. I have faith in Ryan Reynolds. I do.
I think because the board games have been reinvented so many times and updated with modern stuff, I think it can be, this movie can be made like every 20 or 30 years with a completely new cast and storyline, and it'll still be fun because it's like a silly murder mystery.
Yeah, so. I mean, part of it is, it's kind of like Seinfeld, the show. A lot of the concepts wouldn't work in 2019 because things have evolved, like, technologically.
Yes.
Right? Like, if you had a cell phone on Seinfeld, half of those episodes just don't happen. Right? A lot of Clue has to do with them being trapped in this house in a storm, and they can't, they have nowhere to go. They have no one coming in. There's no way to contact anybody. Right? There's, you know, the phone, but they know exactly where that is and, you know, what happens there. But, you know, a lot of it has to do with that being cut off. There's no internet. There's no television.
Well, I don't think it needs to be a modern movie. I don't think it needs to be set in modern times.
Gotcha.
I just meant, I think this movie could be remade with like the times comedic actors and still pull off a good story.
That's fair. And look, I mean, Clue is far from a perfect film. The editing is actually pretty terrible. In it, the acting is great. I mean, the cast is really a phenomenal, and I'll stand by that. But
yes.
You know, not really well edited or directed. It's kind of messy and clunky, and there's a lot of dubbing that's just really terrible.
None of the endings work, by the way.
None of the three endings work at all.
Yeah,
we've tried really hard to figure out which one of those would work, but. I mean, it's the cast that brings me back to it. You know, it's Tim Curry, who's truly one of the greats, and Madeline Kahn, who's up there with him. And
flames on the side of my face, fire. She's breathing heavy breaths.
She's wonderful. She's always been one of my favorites. She was in, you know, several of the Mel Brooks films too, and I love her. And Christopher Lloyd's in it, and it's just great.
I first saw her in History of the World Part One, and like she stands up out of her palanquin and she just screams in this shrill voice, "My tits are falling off!" And I was like, I love this woman. Like, this woman's hilarious. And I was like 7 years old.
So, you know, we're over time, of course, but do you guys want to do any honorable mentions? Anything that you just want to throw out there real quick?
Back to the Future and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I have watched those movies on TBS and TNT and USA, like, almost every weekend since I was a small child.
Outside of those, on my list I had Ghostbusters, Groundhog Day.
Yes.
Kick-Ass, Army of Darkness, Fifth Element.
Good call. So. Good list.
Yeah, Groundhog Day would definitely be one of mine. Back to the Future was one of mine as well. But I also had a couple others. Hook, I always really loved as a kid.
Oh, yeah, that one's a good one.
I think it's really wonderful. Kind of a difficult one to watch all the time, but the Lord of the Rings trilogy I really think is amazing, and I try and watch it at least once a year because of that. And then kind of an older movie a lot of people have forgotten about, Airplane.
Oh.
It's like old comedy from the Zimmerman brothers, and it's totally ridiculous. It's a lot less appropriate than I remembered as a kid.
It completely changed the course of Leslie Nielsen's career. Like, before that, he was a serious dramatic actor.
That was his first comedic role, and it got us some amazing comedies and some terrible comedies, but I loved him.
All Naked Guns.
Wait, are those the amazing ones or the terrible ones?
Both.
First one's pretty good.
I liked them all.
The third one's not a good movie.
33 and a Third?
Yeah.
I thought it was fine. I liked it. I actually think I remember seeing that in theaters with my dad because he loved the Naked Gun movies. And that was the first one I was old enough to see in theaters with him. So
nice. I love those movies. I love Leslie Nielsen. And
I love those silly jokes where he's like, "Wow, lovely beaver you got there." She hands him a beaver. That's the kind of stuff that's just slapstick and funny to me. Like,
one of my favorite movie theater moments was Scary Movie 3. Because at the end of the movie...
You paid for that?
I did. At the end of the movie... So, Leslie Nielsen plays the president of the United States in Scary Movie 3.
Come on for annulments.
And at the end of the movie, they're fighting the girl from the ring. And he just opens a door and knocks the girl into the well and saves the day and says, I just wanted to wish you all good luck. We're all counting on you. And then leaves, which is his line that he does like six times in Airplane. And I lost, like, my friends that we were with, we all lost our minds in that scene and nobody else thought it was funny at all. We were the only ones who laughed. But there you have it.
Do you guys have horror movies that you rewatch? Not Ghostbusters.
The Shining. And I mean, Ghostbusters, of course, but The Shining.
Not Ghostbusters.
The Shining and Evil Dead.
I mean, if I had to pick one that I rewatch, I don't rewatch a lot of horror movies, but probably Evil Dead 2 would be Army of Darkness if you'd count it, but that's more of a comedy than anything else. So probably Evil Dead 2.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Dawn of the Dead, the remake.
Mm-hmm. That was good. Zack Snyder, but...
I am the only one who laughs when
300 would have been on my list too. I just thought about that.
Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz.
Yeah, those would be on my list too.
Yeah, those are really rewatchable.
Mm-hmm. Not The World's End though. We don't talk about
One. The World's End a lot. I don't think it's quite at the level of the first two.
It's not on the same intelligence level. It's a good comedy. It's better than a lot of American comedies that were made around the exact same time. It is not on the same intelligence level as the first two, which is kind of the bummer.
Yeah. But those first two are two of my top films of all time.
There's
only so much time in the podcast, so we can't talk about all of them, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, guys, so that is going to wrap us up. Of course, let us know what your rewatchable films are. What are your qualifications for rewatchability? What just tugs at you and makes you want to watch a movie over and over again? I did say that I was going to ask these guys what 2019 movie they want to rewatch, so...
I mean, it'd probably...
So far?
Yeah, the ones that you've seen so far. We see a lot of movies. I mean, which ones do you want to rewatch?
I want to rewatch Endgame and Shazam. I want to rewatch Captain Marvel.
I've rewatched Shazam. That would probably be the pick for me. Endgame is up there, too, yeah.
All right.
I mean, cool. Those have been the most fun movies of the year.
Endgame?
I mean, yeah, man, that's a fun ride. Are you kidding me?
I guess, yeah. I just don't think fun when I think.
I mean,
about
look, it's got some sad moments in it, but it's a massive film that has some really it has some lows and it's got some incredible highs. Yeah. You know, you can catch our review of that. We reviewed it earlier this year, so
it'll be in the show notes.
No.
Okay.
You can search for it. It's on the feed.
All right, guys, that is going to wrap us up. Let us know your rewatchable movies. Like I said. You can follow the show at Screen Heroes Pod on Twitter. You can follow Ryan, myself, and Derek all on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter individually. Ryan is the your Buster Props, right?
Yep, yeah.
Derek is the Star Trek dude. I am Siren Ray. You can follow Heroes Podcast and all of the podcasts on the network at Heroes Podcast. com. We also are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and Screen Heroes is live on Twitch every single week.
And maybe Facebook too. So.
Tuesday. Yeah, maybe Facebook. If that went well, we'll totally do it again. Cool, guys. All right.
Good talk.
We're going to wrap this up. We'll catch you later. Bye, guys. Did you bring the butt for?
What's a butt for?
For pooping, silly.